When Germany began its invasion of France in 1940, millions of people abandoned their homes in an effort to outrun the Wehrmacht. They traveled by cars and trucks, by foot and horse-drawn carriages down the dirt roads of northern France while French and British forces did their best to hold off the German war machine. In Come What May, his fifth film, Christian Carion tells the story of the villagers of Le Becker and their arduous journey to the coast and safety. And joining the French and German cast is Matthew Rhys, star of FX's hit series The Americans, as Percy, a Scottish officer of the British Expeditionary Force, who helps one of the villagers with a mysterious past to find his lost son amidst the chaos. The film opens today at the Paris Theater and the Angelica Film Center, and I'm very pleased that it brings Christian Carion and Matthew Rhys to our show. Hello.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
And before we get into our discussion of Come What May, Matthew, I thought I'd tell you that The Americans is perhaps my favorite current TV series, and I can't wait until the next season begins. Have you already been shooting it?
We haven't. We begin mid-October.
You'll have to shave off your beard.
I will. Or maybe I'll just keep this as another disguise.
Christian, you say in the opening text of the movie that 8 million people were displaced by the German invasion of France, and that it was one of the largest migrations of the 20th century. Is it a story widely known and remembered in France?
It's not a moment of French history very well known in France itself, because we've got, it's a shame. That moment is very, it's a big disaster for us, because the war was lost in 2 weeks, in sort of way, against the Germans. So we prefer to remember the resistance, we prefer to remember Charles de Gaulle, but not May 1940.
Because the French army was so ill-prepared for a German invasion, despite the fact that it was obvious it was going to happen.
Yes, but at that time, it's very easy by now, you know, to know what we have to do at that time and so on. But during the 30s, the trauma of the First World War was so intense that no one wanted to think about the war, and we were blind.
Had this area been invaded by the Germans in the First World War?
Yeah, of course. Everything starts from the Belgium in 1914, and they do the same story, I mean, in May 1940.
And weren't you born in the area, in northern France?
Yeah, I was born over there.
So did your mother talk about this experience?
Yeah. My mother was 14 in May 1940, and she used to tell me every Sunday what happened during May 1940. So I know very, very well and by heart all that story.
Matthew, you're from Wales, but here you play a Scotsman. You do a perfect American accent in The Americans. Was the Scots accent more difficult because it is similar but not all that similar to Welsh?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Percy is of with the sort of the landed gentry of Scotland, the upper class, the blue blood, and therefore his accent isn't the sort of Scottish brogue that we know. It's a far more English accent, of which I struggle far more intensely than the American, I have to admit.
Why is that?
I think it's something very class based, that being raised Welsh, that the sort of upper class English accent is something that grates heavily on our ears. So to emulate or to try and copy it, it's difficult not to fall into sort of the realms of cliché.
Was it a relief to appear in another FX series last year, the Bastard Executioner, about Welsh soldiers in King Edward the First's army?
Yes, for a very brief and rare moment, I was allowed to use my own accent, although it threw me, because when I was doing it, I could hear American coming through, so I don't even know who I am anymore.
What about playing a bagpipe? Were you faking it in the film, or do you really know how to play it?
I can say quite easily that learning the bagpipes was the singular most difficult skill set I've ever had to do for a movie or a play or television or anything. It is one of my respect for bagpipe players is now tenfold.
Because you have to do the breathing and the fingering independently, and I gather it also requires a lot of physical strength.
Indeed. Just to get a sound out of the bagpipes takes weeks. And although I knew that, you know, it could be very easily dubbed, I was desperate to try and, you know, have that scene as real as possible.
Christian, just to be clear, aren't there really two, even maybe more than two threads, but pretty much two strong threads in this film? One about the refugees' attempt to outrun the German army by traveling south, and one about a father and a son. Could you talk a bit about the story of the father and son, Hans and Max? Are they based on real people?
No. No. First of all, I start with the testimony of my mother, as I told you, and I ask the people from North of France to give all their stories. So they sent us a lot of letters, recording, and so on. So,
and you incorporated them into your script?
Yeah, we work a lot about all these testimonies, and at the end we said, okay, we know now what happened on the roads for the French people. But I didn't want to make just a French movie. That's why I invent Percy, because I wanted to have a British soldier involved. And we decided to open the movie with a German character, a guy who is not Nazi. He would try to do something against the machine, and then he has to go. Because we forget that the first victim of a Nazi were Germans. The first people who died were Germans, because they were Jewish, communist, or homosexual, I don't know. And open the movie with that kind of guy was interesting for me, I thought.
And he thinks he's found safety in France, and then, of course, the German army comes there as well. He has to run once again. How old is Joshio Marlon, the actor who plays his son Max so effectively? He speaks both German and French quite well in this film.
Yeah. He was 8 years old, and he can speak three languages,
wow,
which is one a nightmare for me. And he was pretty
Well, you
Russian.
Required everybody here to speak more than one language, even Matthew.
Even Matthew, that's right. But for French, you know, someone can speak three languages, an alien for sure.
How do you prepare someone so young to deal with such heavy subject matter?
You know, if you think too much, you don't do anything. So I work very instinctively. I try to remember all the day and every day, my mother, what she told me. And that was my, you know, my way of working and preparing this movie. So, and it's just after when you watch, it was not so easy to make. But when you are inside, you don't really realize, if I can mean.
There a real town of Lübeck?
What?
Is this a real town, Lübeck?
Yeah, yeah.
Lübeck, which is
my true village. I definitely shot where I was born, so I knew every road, every field, everything. I was at home.
It was an incredibly personal experience for me, seeing also, you know, the farms where we were shooting, and it was a shock and an eye opener to see how personal a story this was for Christian.
We meet your character Percy in a series of underground tunnels underneath the city of Arras. Mm. He's been cut off from the rest of the British army as they're retreating to Dunkirk. And wasn't that one of the darker moments for the British military during the war?
It's incredible. In beginning to research the Dunkirk and the retreat, I was staggered to see what it was as. Dare I say, military blunder, as many would say, but the sort of the speed of the Germans catching the chaos of the British and the retreat, they call it the miracle of Dunkirk, and it absolutely was, because the fact that thousands more didn't die is a true miracle.
Did any of your forebears fight in the war?
They did. I know I lost a great uncle. The research I did then on Percy, I found a relatively close match in this man called Major Lovett, who was a sort of upper class Scotsman who walked onto the beaches, when the Allied invasion came back on D-Day, and he walked with a bagpiper on at his side and insisted the piper played the entire time.
My guests are Matthew Rhys, one of the stars of a new film called Comme What May, and Christian Carion, who is the writer-director. The film opens today at the Paris Theater and the Angelica Film Center. And Christian, you take the opportunity here to humanize some of the German soldiers that we meet along the way. Something you also did in one of your previous films, Joyeux Noël, which was nominated for an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. And that was also about opposing armies during wartime. So why make the some of those Germans nice?
It's a great job, I know. I truly believe in humanity. I still believe in humanity. I think the war is a defeat for everyone when it happens, and every country and every human being. So, yes, I wanted to make a movie and to have some time, the opportunity to show that the people under the German uniform were human beings too. They were afraid, they died, they wanted to go home, and so on. So, like, you're right, Joyeux Noël, but because that's the truth.
But were you making a filmmaker's joke by having the most villainous character in this film a filmmaker?
Yeah. The filmmaker is special, as usual.
Of
as
course,
usual.
Like they all are.
They all are. It's,
yes, there's a Matthew. Have you
it's
met
upper class.
Evil guys like him?
Yes, there's a very slim difference between dictator and director. But
for sure.
Yes, but yeah, he was instantly recognizable as the sort of tyrants that can float around the business.
He's making a documentary, and as part of his documentary, he wants to see people killed.
Yeah, because I discover that the German use a lot of cinematographers to work on propaganda. So they make forced documentary to show how everything was perfect mm-hmm. on the West Line. So and I saw some of this documentary, and they were well done.
Well, Germany had a great film industry, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
Leni Riefenstahl was one of the greatest filmmakers that ever lived.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She was the mother of all this cinematographer mm-hmm. during the Second World War.
Matthew, are you always busy? Last year we saw you in Burnt with Bradley Cooper, and of course there's the American series on FX, which has announced that it's going to continue until 2018.
Yes.
How many shows will you end up winding up doing in total?
For the Americans, episodically, I'm not sure. It'll be 6 seasons in total, which is, a real luxury, for the writers to be given a very specific timeline, a long timeline, in order to round up and to round off in a very hopefully succinct way, where more often than not, sometimes they're kind of cruelly pulled rather quickly. So,
The other opposite problem is often that people, they start running out of inspiration, but there always seems to be another problem that pops up in the series.
The beauty of this series is it truly is a series that, it's a gift that keeps giving. And now into our 5th season, I think so many sort of beautiful long-term foundations have been laid. I think it's now a question of payoffs for the next 2 seasons.
Will you miss doing it when it's over?
Yes, I'm sure I will. I'm sure, given the few months post 6th season, I'll go, oh, I miss wearing facial hair and different different wigs.
Does it help that Kerry Russell, your co-star, has also become your wife?
It's sort of, it's a number of things. It's, you always tell yourself you'll never do that, and then you end up, you do, and I'm very, very glad that I did. And it, it brings with it its own challenges, certainly.
Well, one of the challenges was written about a lot in the newspapers because last season shows had to be shot very carefully as to not reveal that she was pregnant.
Yeah, that's very true. Or it was actually to cover my very quickly growing waistline, to be perfectly honest. But yes, it was. It made it.
You were pregnant too?
I like to tell people I was.
How old's your baby now?
4 months.
Mm. Do you have another film in the works?
Not that I'm aware of. So, no.
What about you, Christian?
Yeah, I hope to make another one, of course. But
well, of course. But you don't have a project in
mind?
No,
see, I'm working on 2 projects, very different. One in the French language and another one in English language.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to tell us.
That's it.
Meanwhile, we didn't get to... One of the things about this story that you tell here is that it's got a lot of complications. That must have been really difficult sometimes, putting it all together.
Yeah, I know.
You always said it was like making two movies, basically.
Yeah, because there was the village, and then behind there was the motorbike with the three guys.
The three clowns.
And I love to work in a different way because of the two stories.
And then there was the German subplot. There's
There's it's a complex Suka's movie.
Strafing the people who are escaping. A lot of stuff going on. My great thanks to both of you for being on our show, Christian Carrion, Matthew Rhys. We've been talking about Come What May, which is open today at the Paris Theater and the Angelica Film Center.